Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. Numbers 13, the title of tonight's message is The List of the Famous Becomes the List of the Infamous. The List of the Famous Becomes the List of the Infamous. Numbers chapter 13. And Brother Reese, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Father in heaven, thank you for bringing us here safely tonight. Lord, thank you for sunshine. Thank you for those that are gathered here. Lord, pray that God brings your word, that you give him clarity of thought and help us to understand and learn something that we'll be able to use this week.
Amen. Numbers 13, verse 1. We'll read down through verse 16. Numbers 13, 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel, and these were their names: of the tribe of Reuben, Shammua, the son of Zakur; of the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, the son of Hori; of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh; of the tribe of Issachar, Igal, the son of Joseph; of the tribe of Ephraim, Oshea, the son of Nun; of the tribe of Benjamin, Paltai, the son of Rephu; of the tribe of Zebulun, Gadiel, the son of Sodai; of the tribe of Joseph, namely, of the tribe of Manasseh, Gadai, the son of Susai; of the tribe of Dan, Amiel, the son of Gamali; of the tribe of Asher, Sethur, the son of Michael; of the tribe of Naphtali, Nabai, the son of Vasai; of the tribe of Gad, Guel, the son of Machai. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Oshea, the son of Nun, Jehoshua. These men were said to be rulers in verse 2. If you go back there, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one what? A ruler among them. They were also said to be heads of their tribes. Look in verse 3. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were what? Heads of the children of Israel. So these were famous. They were renowned. They were well known. You'd have to say well respected to be able to be chosen as rulers and heads. But these men, it doesn't necessarily mean that they were old men in the sense of ancient. We just were having a conversation over supper, something about old people, and I had to be reminded that I was the same age as the old people we were talking about. On my computer, I get news notes in, and there's this guy advertising a T-shirt for sale, and something it says on his T-shirt something like, "It seems so strange being the same age as old people," and it's a gray-haired guy wearing this T-shirt. These men, I don't think, were old in the sense of being ancient men because of the task that they were called upon to do here. We know how old Caleb was. If you hold your place here and go with me to Joshua chapter 14, Joshua chapter 14, a little later we're given a clue as to how old Caleb was when he was called to be one of those spies. Joshua 14, verse 10, And we'll go through verse 12. So Joshua 14, 10. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. And this is Caleb speaking. As he said, these what? 45 years. Even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day, what?
45.
So if you take that back off then, so they wandered in the wilderness 40 years, so that means they had been fighting these battles for 5 years. So Caleb was 40 years old when he was called to be a spy. So he was considered a ruler and a head of the tribe here of Judah. So that was his age there, was 40. So when we talk about these spies, and remembering about the nature of what they were doing, they were traversing the promised land, trying to scout it out and see what it was like. So they probably weren't walking down main roads. So Brother Reese was sharing with us some pictures about walking up a mountain. I think that was the one you want me to go up, right? Okay. It looked like a pretty narrow trail, or not a well-worn trail, maybe I should say. You just think about the terrain of Papua New Guinea. If you were spying the land out, or any land, you normally wouldn't go down the main roads. You'd kind of be indiscreet, or discreet, I should say, not indiscreet. And you wouldn't not necessarily be seen by a lot of people. So it would have been a lot of hiking there for these men. So he was a leader. Notice in Numbers, back in Numbers 13:6. So it says here, of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. So Caleb was from the tribe of Judah, the tribe that our Lord came through. So they were not old as an ancient, but they were mature men and leaders, probably strong men. As we just read there, I should have had you stay there, but let's go back to Joshua 14 just a minute. Especially in the sense of Caleb, he was a strong man. In Joshua chapter 14 and verse 11, Caleb still speaking here, he said, as yet I am as what? As strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. So he's 85 and he's saying, I'm as strong today as I was when I was 40. It's like Brother Fred's handshake. Strong. So 85 years old, Caleb is saying, I'm just as strong today as I was when I was 40. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. So it didn't faze him a bit. So these men had to be, all of these men had to be strong. They couldn't have been weaklings to be chosen to spy out the land. So this list that we read in Numbers 13 would be like maybe Israel's SEAL Team 6. I don't know. But they'd be strong. They'd be able to take care of themselves. I mean, there were 12 of them, and they had to be tough. Maybe not as tough as Caleb. Maybe tougher. I don't know. So they were well known. To be put on that list, you know, young men, a lot of young men would love to be on a SEAL Team 6. I mean, they just, the adventure of it, the strength, going to do special missions, go in and get the job done. I mean, there's a lot of young men that would thrive on something like that. And so I don't know about these 12, I assume, but something changed. So this list was really something to make this list. But only two of them proved to be strong in the faith. Only two out of the 12. Notice in Numbers 13:25. It just made me really think as I read in my Bible reading through this list, and I read all these names. What an honor to be chosen to be on this list. But what happened to 10 of these 12 men? Numbers 13:25, and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with what? Milk and honey. To have milk and honey, you have to have a lot of green, lush pasture land for the milk. And for the honey, you've got to have a lot of flowers. And they said, truly, truly, this is a land that floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. But verse 28, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And who? Caleb. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us what? Go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him, and we know Joshua wasn't in that group of naysayers, so there was 10, but the men that went up with him, those 10 said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as what? Grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. I was in Myers last week, and there was a guy probably my age, and ahead of him was a real tall young man. And that guy said to the young man, what was on my mind? I was wondering how tall he was. And so the other guy asked, and he said, 6'7". And the guy said, I thought so. I don't know if he said, like, you seem like a foot above me. And he did seem to tower. And then I thought, 6'7", but Goliath was 9'9". Can you imagine standing behind a guy or next to a guy that's 9'9" tall? Young man seemed huge at 6'7", seemed so tall. But these guys said they saw, verse 33, the giants in the land, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. So much for their strength and faith. So their report stirred up rebellion. Notice in chapter 14, verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. And the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land, to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make what? A captain. And let us return into Egypt. Now, who do you think they might have chosen to be their captain? Well, I'm guessing probably one of those 10 guys. One of those 10 spies. that were heads, that were rulers, and were dead set against going into the promised land. Notice with me in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Think of these renowned men in the sight of man. But then think what God says in Hebrews 11, 6. The Word of God says, but without what? Faith. It is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is what? A rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Caleb was one of those men of faith. Let us go up at once. But those 10 said, no, we can't do it. We can't do it. So think of this list of these men. 12 men in that list. Heads of the tribes. Rulers of the tribes. But only 2 of those, Joshua and Caleb, believed God. The other 10, those renowned men, were only interested in pleasing man, not God. Notice in Luke chapter 6, Luke chapter 6 and verse 26, Luke 6:26. The Bible says, woe unto you when all men shall speak what? Well of you, for so did their fathers to who? False prophets. So what happened to these 10 men on this special list, chosen? What happened to these? Let's go back to Numbers 14. What happened to these men? These renowned men, these famous men, these heads, these rulers. Numbers 14 and verse 22. The Lord is speaking here and says, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow turn you, and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation, which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land, concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms, until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of the days in which ye searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years. And ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be consumed, and there they shall die. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, so we're talking that list of 12, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by what? The plague before the Lord. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. So those 10 famous men, what was the end of them? They died by the plague. What were their names again? Let's go back to chapter 13 and verse 4. Chapter 13 and verse 4. The one from Reuben in verse 4 was Shammua. In verse 5, the one from Simeon was Shaphat. So Shammua, Shaphat. Verse 6 talked about Caleb. Verse 7, from Issachar was Igal. From Ephraim was Oshea or Joshua. Verse 9, from Benjamin was Paltai. Verse 10, from Zebulun was Gadiel. Verse 11, from the tribe of Joseph was Gadai. Verse 12, from the tribe of Dan was Amiel. Verse 13, from Asher was Sethur. Verse 14, the tribe of Naphtali was Nabai. Verse 15, the tribe of Gad was Guel. So these names, which would have been famous and renowned, now they're not famous, they're infamous. They died by the plague. We have many today in that same scenario. Many would be on the list of the renowned, the famous. But I just read a recent interesting poll from Barna, the Barna poll. Before I read what it said, let's go to 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4. So what we find out is these 10 men were just like the majority of Israel. Murmurers and complainers. People who had no faith, rebels. And when we think of today, let's 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. Let's read through verse 4. So first, 2 Timothy 4, 1. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, it is appearing in his kingdom. And then what's the next verse say? Preach the word. Have you ever had anyone say to you, don't preach at me? I've had people say that to me. Don't preach at me. But the Bible says, preach the word. Be instant, in season, and what?
Out of season.
Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure what?
Sound doctrine.
There was a group called Promise Keepers back probably a couple decades ago now, but I think the guy who started it might have been a football coach. And so they called all these, in quotes, Christian men to come to these football stadiums for a men's rally, and they tried to teach these men, to be fathers and so on. But they said, when you guys get here, don't you talk about doctrine. Because doctrine, they are saying this. They said, because doctrine divides, and we want to be unified here. You can see the problem was they were calling men from all different denominations, Catholics, and the whole realm of Protestants, and then Baptists. And if anyone asks you, or if you have to fill out a form, if they ask if you're a Catholic or Protestant, put neither. Say Baptist or say Christian. The Baptist line does not come from the Catholic Church. We are not Protestants. Our forefathers didn't protest the Catholic Church. True Baptists were never in it. There was always the true Christian line. Church history would have you think that the Catholic Church was the only church there was at one point in time. That is not so. But it says, the time will come and they will not endure sound doctrine. Well, we have now been in several decades of that in America, not enduring sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having what?
Itching ears.
Have you ever seen someone itch their ear? Anyone? Yeah, that's what people do. Their ear itches and they itch it. So what is the saying? These people had itching ears. They searched for someone to tell them what they wanted to hear that made them feel good. How many of you have ever had your back scratched? Does it feel good? Yeah. Well, when people have itching ears, they want to hear something. And when they finally find somebody that will say what they want to hear, they lap it up. They'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from what? The truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But the problem is this. Sooner or later, you know, people may gravitate to people like that, liberal preachers like that. But sooner or later, they're going to come to the point where they're going to realize that liberal is lying to them. Sooner or later. And interestingly, we must be getting close to that point. But before I tell you what that poll says, let's go to Psalm 106. Psalm 106. And verse 15. Psalm 106:15, and he gave them what?
Their request.
Their request, but sent what? Leanness into their soul. So all these liberal contemporary preachers are saying what they want to say, but these people eventually find out, it's like, what if you had a sore throat and someone told you, just drink 2 glasses of water and it'll take your sore throat away? So you did it, and you still had a sore throat. Somebody lied to me. Drinking water doesn't take away a sore throat. Here's the poll. According to this Barna poll, it was taken in December, so about 6 months ago. And the first thing they come up with is that 71% of Americans have a positive view of Jesus. 71% of Americans have a positive view of Jesus. So that's almost 3/4. And of course, that's not getting into doctrine. We've just recently, not too many months ago, shared some polls that there's a whole bunch of people that do not believe that Jesus is God. So, but nonetheless, this was the poll. 71% of Americans have a positive view of Jesus. So that's almost 3/4 of Americans. Then the next point, 65% of them are favorable towards spirituality. So 65% of Americans seem to think that it's positive when a person is spiritual. It's really a shame only 65% of people feel that way. I mean, it's not that much, over half. But nonetheless, that was the poll. 65% of Americans are favorable toward spirituality. The next point was 63% are positive toward the Bible. Well, you notice we're going down there, and I'm actually surprised that there was even 63% positive about the Bible. But that's what the poll revealed. But that's a little less than 2/3 of Americans. But then watch the huge drop. Then the question was asked about how you feel about famous worship bands and Christian celebrities. So Your view of Jesus Christ, 71% positive. Your view of spirituality, 65% were positive toward it. Your view of the Bible, 63% are positive. But what is your view about worship bands? What's a worship band? It's a rock and roll band that plays in church. 26%. Only 26% of them had a positive view of worship bands in churches. That shocked me. But you know what it shows? It shows that music is not helping them spiritually. They might sit in church and be revved up about the rock band going, but when they get home, it doesn't sustain them. Only 26% of them had a positive view of worship bands. And the same about Christian celebrities. That's interesting. Because Christian celebrities now don't live much different than the world, do they? I mean, we're talking about famous people that also claim to know God. But you know what? Only 26% of Americans look at them as favorable. You know why? Because they're hypocrites. That's why. Only 26%. And then catch this. Only 17%. Wow, you're getting way down there. Only 17% of them polled view celebrity pastors in a positive light. Joel Osteen, Rick Warren, these celebrity pastors, only 17% of those polled look at those men in a positive light. I thought, wow, you would never know it, would you? I mean, thousands of people come to those mega churches, but it's interesting that only 17% of the people polled have a positive view of those type of pastors. And then there's one more question here. Only 16% of Americans view mega churches in a positive light. Only 16% of Americans view mega churches in a positive light. You know what? We would never know that from all that we hear. But you know what? People are getting turned off to the rock and roll in worship because you know what? They're coming into those churches and they're getting lied to. They've got itching ears and they've heaped to themselves the rock worship bands and the celebrity pastors, but they're not getting fed. It's not helping them. And they do not consider it positive. I found that poll very, very interesting. It reminds me of Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And verse 35. Proverbs 3, 35. The wise shall inherit what? Glory. But shame shall be the promotion of who? Fools. That's what contemporary Christianity is all about. Tickling people's ears, but you know what? Those people are starting to awaken. It's strange, isn't it, out there that this sodomite agenda has been going on for years. How many years ago was it we fought it in Greenville and Eureka Township? It's been quite a few years ago. And it's been going on, and it just seemed like no one cares. But suddenly, a beer company puts a transgender on their beer can, and suddenly the tide is shifting. I forget how many $1 billion that beer company has lost so far. I think they've lost 20-some percent of their business, which is billions and billions of dollars. And then, lo and behold, Target. You know what? I couldn't even tell you how many years ago it was that Target started letting men go in the ladies' changing rooms. And I read about ladies protested that, and it's like Target rebuked the ladies. We haven't been in a Target store in years and years since they started doing that. Now, and so anyway, Target had these sodomite stuff out there, just clothes for babies, promoting that lifestyle. And people just were fed up. They had enough, but now Target is just... Yes. And now Kohl's, they're getting hit because they're doing the same thing. And it's like people are finally standing up. And it just seems like this whole transgender thing, finally, people realize, you know what? They're preying on our children. And they've had enough of it. And the liberal news media, oh, we're terrorists, you know, for standing up for biblical sanity. It's crazy, absolutely crazy. But we're seeing, you know what? People go down that road of sin, and you know, it's like when I was a teenager. I started to grow my hair long, and my dad talked to me about it, and he didn't like it. And so I just tried combing it back farther. And in fact, I started working at a tool and die shop, Greenville Tool and Die. And I was doing that because at the tool and die shop, they wouldn't let men have long hair because you're working around milling machines that turn and you get your hair stuck in there and you're going to get scalped. But I was, you know, trying to comb it around my ears, you know, and the vice president was the one who hired me in because the owner was gone when I hired in. But he came out there one day and he swore at me and told me my hair was too long and I needed to get it cut. And it's a shame to have to have the world tell you that, but in my heart, I was a rebel. But you know what? God began to work in my heart when Sandy and I were expecting our first child, and you know what? I thought, I don't want to have any baby in my arms looking at me because I am nothing but a lousy hypocrite. My hair is too long. I listen to the wrong kind of music. And so I cut my hair. And you know what? Back in those days when my hair was longer, you know, I kind of bristled at, well, notice with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, you know, people would dare to say that it's wrong for a man to have long hair. And, you know, I was just a rebel. In 1 Corinthians 11, 14, doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is what? A shame unto him. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for hair is given her for a covering. So I'm going to a Baptist church, and there's a young man. He's probably, I don't know, maybe 5-6 years my senior. And he had long hair, longer than mine. And so there was talk around the church that they shouldn't let him play on the church softball team. He was a good softball player. And so there was talk, you know, about That young man shouldn't be playing on the church softball team. His hair is long. And so there's this talk going around. And, you know, I'm kind of siding with a young man. But you know what? When God gripped my heart, when I finally admitted that it was a shame and went to the barber and had him cut it off, my barber even tried to talk me out of cutting my hair off. Satan will have somebody there trying to get you to not do the right thing. But no, I said, I want it cut. And you know what then? I was looking for someone to tell me what? What do you think I was looking for? I was looking for someone to tell me the truth. I was a rebel living on itching ears and lies. And then I wanted someone to tell me the truth. And then, you know what I found? This was some years later, probably maybe 5 years had gone by. And you know what had happened in the church? It was a reversal. They were justifying then long hair instead of remaining true to the Bible. But you know what? When I got my heart right, you know what I wanted to hear? Truth. Truth. And you know what? All these people in this contemporary movement who go to these rock and roll churches and you know, they don't want to hear anything negative. You know what? Those people might get to the point where they get their heart right with God and actually want to hear the truth. The question for us is, will we still be telling the truth? I was reading an advertisement from a church down south, and it was about on their literature trying to get people to come to church. And it said, our number one goal is we want you to be comfortable. We have no dress standards. We have no expectations. That was their exact word. We have no expect. When you come and visit us, we have no expectations, no dress code. Our number one thing is we want you to be comfortable. Does that sound like pleasing God? No, not in the least. You know what? According to this Barna poll, there's a lot of people that might be starting to turn the corner. They might actually see the mess we are in our nation and the world. And they might actually be getting maybe close to the point where they would like to hear the truth and find a church that actually teaches it and tries by God's grace to live it. We might actually be getting to that point where people might wake up. So let's not apologize for speaking the truth. Let's speak it in love, but let's speak the truth. Because you know what? There just might be some people out there that are getting hungry for it. So let's not worry about being on the list of the renowned, the well-known, the famous. Because according to this poll, only 17% view celebrity pastors in a favorable light. Only 16% of Americans view mega churches in a positive light. That tells me something. People are realizing they're being lied to. They're being told nothing has to change in your life. Just add Jesus. Go on your rock and roll way. Go on in your immodest way. Don't change anything. You'll be okay, but they're empty inside. Let's pray that God would help us to be there for them, to be the truth. In closing, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, 57. 1 Corinthians 15, 57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us what? the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye what? Steadfast. Don't you get tired of things changing? I do. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in what? The work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is what? Not in vain in the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, it's true from the beginning, and every one of your righteous judgments endureth forever. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Lord, help us to stand upon your word. Lord, please protect us from temptation. Please rebuke the devil and his angels, Lord. Help us to stand, and having done all to stand, Lord, help us to realize that where two or three are gathered together in your name, that you are there in the midst. Father, what if we're in a place where thousands are gathered, but in disobedience to your word? Would you be on the outside like the church of Laodicea knocking to be let inside? Lord, I pray that we could see the corner turn and that whole host of people realizing they've been lied to by this contemporary Christianity, this rock and roll Christianity. Father, help us to be there with the truth. I pray we could see a great awakening, a great revival. Father, if there should be any here tonight who have never been saved, Father, help them to realize that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God in the flesh, born of a miraculous virgin birth, lived a perfect, sinless life, and died on the cross for us, was buried and rose again victorious from the grave, proving that his pure and sinless blood was sufficient to cleanse us from all of our sin. Oh, Lord, please search our hearts. Lord, if we have blind spots and sin, we are excusing, Father, please reveal that to us that we might be right with you. Help us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.